Oh, you can say amen. You can clap. Come on. Let's hear it. Yeah, amen. That clap is for God, because God's the one who's calling Foley United Methodist Church to arise. That clap is for the Spirit that's been at work in this place, and that clap is in expectation of what God is about to do in and through us. I tell you, Foley United Methodist, it is time to arise. But I just am continually blown away every time I look around this place, as the longer I've had the privilege of being your pastor, when I see the incredible gifts and abilities and people saying they're willing to use them for God to do what he wants to do. And so even today, seeing the fruit of this video, seeing someone like Amanda who got here at 7:30 this morning to run a video in the service, and we don't do this on a normal basis, to see the guys that work to get a screen on our wall for a couple of weeks, and those are all the things that make Arise possible. Teams of people, the choir came and sang at 8:30. We had all kind of people. And I told Rachel Baker, who's running our sound today, I said, you know, at the end of the day, we won't feel like the church is any different. But it's as people use their gifts, it's as they step up and say, I'll get out of my comfort zone and do one more thing, that God raises us out of our place of being stuck and stagnant and sick and stationary. And so I couldn't be more excited about this initiative that's beginning today for the next 5 weeks. We're going to think about what God wants to do in us. And it's so easy to think that an initiative like this is just about money. This isn't a capital campaign. If you were in the Sunday school assembly, which we kicked off this morning with probably close to 100 folks going to Sunday school classes, the whole church is studying the same thing. We've got Bible studies coming up. If you were there, then you heard John say it really, really well, that this is a discipleship initiative. This is about what God wants to do in each of us. This is about us responding to God's call in our life. This is about opening ourselves to God's direction for us. And so you're going to hear in the next 5 weeks some talk about money, because that's a piece of it. And for the next 2 years, you're going to hear an awful lot about time and talent. When I come back and say, hey, Debbie Wiest is ready to start another Kids Quest class, but we need people to do that, that's how we arise. When we say, hey, the choir's looking to do this, or we need this for another service, or we're looking for people to help with that, that's how you arise. When we say our guest services team has a dream that no one would open a door here on Sunday morning, that we would open doors and welcome people into this building on Sunday morning, but we need people to do that, that's how you arise. And so for 5 weeks, we'll talk about things like the mission of the church. That's what we're going to talk about today, and why we're even doing this. We're going to talk about what does it look like to really trust God and to put ourselves in a place that if God doesn't show up, we don't know what will happen. We're going to talk about generosity and the joy that God gives us of giving generously to him, both financially and with our abilities and gifts. You know, people always get a little heebie-jeebie when we talk about money in the church. But let me just go in and say this, and we'll say this over and over again. The reason we talk about money isn't because God's trying to get your money. He already has it. It's his. If he wanted it, he would take it. The reason that we talk about money is because God doesn't want your money to get you. And so we're going to try and help think about what that means and what does it look like to live in a healthy relationship with wealth and possessions. John's going to lead us as we talk about sacrifice in a couple weeks and how anytime we sacrifice ourselves, other people benefit for that. And then we'll finish our series together by talking about commitment and what does it mean to drive a stake in the sand and declare this is who we're going to become in the name of Jesus. The Rise Initiative will last 2 years. It's not just these 5 weeks. The guy who was here, if you were here last week, you saw him shooting a lot of the video that you just saw pieced together. He told me as we were shooting that video, he said, 8 months from now, you're going to be sick of talking about Arise. I can't wait till you're sick of hearing me talk about Arise, because we'll just keep bringing it back and forth because it's what God is calling us to. You'll hear me say again in a few minutes as we look at that Luke 7 text that Arise is never a standalone event. Arise in Scripture, when God uses the word Arise 600 times in the Bible, he never calls people to just get up. It's always Arise and blank. And so I really just believe that the Arise Initiative is the preface to the book. This is the trailer to the movie. This is the undercard to the title fight. And we're just beginning what God wants. He's calling our church to stand up first, to get up, to move out of that place of being sick, of being stagnant, of being stuck, of being stationary, because he has great things in store. I've never been a part of a church where you could sense the Spirit stirring. stirring like you can here. There is a hunger for God. Everywhere I go, people are eager to see what God has in store. It's over the next 2 years that we're going to live into that, and we can't even begin to dream what He may want to do. You'll hear us talk a lot about time, talent, and treasure. And I want to say up front, that's not a multiple choice question. It's not time, talent, or treasure. Pick the one that's the most comfortable for you. If you were in the Sunday school group this morning, we talked about Romans 12, where we put our whole self on the altar as a sacrifice. And so we give everything. We give our lives. They're already God's too. If He wanted them, He could take them. And so we offer our best to Him. And so we'll talk about a lot about treasure in these 5 weeks, because we firm up our budget as we do these 5 weeks. But then for the next 2 years, we'll talk about time and talent over and over again. In the spring, we'll come back and do a series about what does it look like for every person to have a ministry, every person who calls this church their home to connect in a place where they can serve and help other people know the good news of Jesus. If you want to connect more into what we're doing, which I hope you will, there's a couple resources. You got your booklet, which has a lot of information in it, but also out in the narthex as you leave today, we have these cards right here that are called prayer drop cards, and this is a way that you can begin praying for the church. If you came to one of the Arise events and you already have these, there are these great little stickers you can place like on your phone, or you can see I've got one on my watch right there. And then every time you see it, you're like, oh yeah, I'm praying for the church. And you can just say a simple prayer. God, would you fill Foley United Methodist Church with your Holy Spirit? Would you bring awakening that only you can bring? God, what does it mean for us to arise? We're longing for you. You can pray for yourself, for the friends sitting around you. God, we long for what you want to do. We want to get up. We don't want to stay stuck anymore. So you can pick one of these up on your way out, stick these things on your mirror, on your TV, your microwave, your rearview mirror, on your cheeks, you know, you can look like a football player, you know, whatever. But every time you see one, remind yourself to pray. And then these are called engagement journals. They're in the back too, and you can just grab one on the way out if you didn't come to an Arise event. This is like the third rail for Arise. Only touch this if you want God to do something in your life. Because as I told the people who came to the events, if you will prayerfully work your way through this journal, I believe God will do something in you that you can't even begin to comprehend right now. This is kind of a prayer and devotion book. It's got some scriptures. It's got some things for you to prayerfully reflect on and think about. Talk about with your spouse. You can talk about with your family. But I encourage you to grab one of those. As I told the people at the Arise events, I double dog dare you to work through that book. Don't do it if you don't want something to happen, but if you're ready to arise, grab hold of one of those, so it's going to be great. In the books, you see a commitment card. That's for the financial piece, the treasure piece. That's not in there because I'm going to ask you for money today. I'm not asking you to turn that in, but I want you just to see it. I want you to use that as a prayer card. Tape that to your bedside table or something so you can begin to pray for what God wants you to do. It's going to be a wonderful thing. Our commitment Sunday, when we turn those cards in, is 4 weeks from today, October 29th, and we'll have a great time of worship in here where we'll turn those in. It'll be a wonderful moment. Our biggest goal for Arise, this is what John and I have talked about, this is what our Arise team that I look forward to you getting to know more in the weeks ahead has talked about, is that far more important than a numerical amount or a number of people serving or even whatever the outcome looks like in 2 years, a far more important goal is 100% participation. And we'll talk about this throughout the season too. And the reason I say that is because we could be a really good church if we did the Arise Initiative and 20% of the people did 80% of the work. That's how most churches work. Lots of people that are, you know, jump in and they carry most of the weight, and other people just kind of ride on coattails and are like, man, I really like going there on Sundays. We could be a really good church if 20% of the people gave 80% of the money. That's how a lot of churches work too. A small group of people fund most of what happens, and we could do incredible things and it would be great. But there is something biblical that happens when the church moves in unity. When we all grab the rope together. And so we're not asking for people to do the same things. I was in the Kairos class this morning, had a great discussion about how when we put ourselves on the altar before God, it'll look different for everyone. You know, what your gifts and abilities are different than my gifts and ability. What your passions are different. The amount of money you can give is different. And so while we won't do the same thing, we won't give equal gifts, we won't serve in equal ways, we can all make equal sacrifice. And I believe that God will do something supernatural if we'll all grab that rope together. And so that's my prayer, is really beyond what the outcome is, but that our church would be unified in this to say, God is calling us to something big, and we don't want to miss it. And all of us, no matter where we are, our stage of life, whether we're new Christians, whether we're not a Christian, whether we've been here for a week or we've been here for 100 years, we can all grab the rope together. For years and years, I've heard the stories. You prayed for what this church could become. You prayed for a pastor with young kids. You prayed for the fact that we were headed on a course that we didn't like where we were going. This is it. I am ready to arise. This is going to be one of the... this is a gift. I mean, we just need to sit back and enjoy it, because it's going to be amazing to see what God does over the next 2 years. So say it with me. I'm ready to arise. Say it. I'm ready to arise. Oh, that sounds good, but by week 5, we're going to be shouting it from the rafters. All right, so here we go. Let me say a prayer for us, and then we're going to jump into Luke 7. God, we are ready to arise. We are ready for what you want. We are ready for your desires and dreams for Foley United Methodist Church. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I love the foundation text for this Arise Initiative is Luke 7. I read it to you just a few minutes ago, and it's one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. It's one of only 3 places in the New Testament and the Gospel accounts where we see Jesus raise somebody from the dead, where he speaks into death and calls someone back to life. Jesus has been moving in his ministry now. He has great crowds that are following him. They are moving all around, watching, curious about who he is and what he'll do. And so he's left the town of Capernaum, which would have been on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, and he and this entourage of people, hundreds, maybe thousands of people, are making their way down these dusty roads towards the town of Nain. Nain is about 6 miles outside of the town of Nazareth that you may have heard of. And as they're beginning to make this way out towards Nain, they see coming on the horizon in front of them another crowd coming out of Nain. You can imagine it. It's like one of those old westerns that you like to watch. It's the dueling people marching towards each other, wondering who will win the showdown before them. And as they get a little bit closer, the narrator begins to tell us that the crowd that's coming out of Nain is a funeral procession. The Bible gives us some details about the funeral, and immediately, as soon as we begin to hear the details about that funeral, we notice that this is a man who is young. If you're taking notes there in your Arise booklet, which I'll encourage you to do, I just give you permission to circle things and underline things. And the text version that you have is what I read just a minute ago, and it doesn't say the word young, but you could write in the word young, because other versions propose that this man would have been young. Anytime we see a young person who has died before their time, something stirs in our hearts. Something begins to well up inside of us, because there's this sense that when we see someone who has not lived out their lifespan, that there's a sense of being cut short. You've probably seen this happen before. And so as Jesus looks at this situation, he knows that this is a terribly distraught place. I wonder if that young man had a wife and kids. I wonder if he had a job that he left behind. I wonder if he had dreams and a promise of what God longed to do in his life. I wonder what the situation was that brought his life to a close far too soon. As Jesus and his crowd begin to make their way towards that crowd, he recognizes exactly what's going on, and Jesus surmises the whole thing, and he begins to mesh himself right into the middle of this crowd that's coming out for the funeral procession. And as he walks up, he sees the young man's mother, and he looks at her, and he says in very clear words, "Do not weep." He tells her that there's no need for her to wail and weep anymore, that when Jesus shows up, whatever the circumstances that stop our lives, whatever the circumstances are that bind us, whether it's life or death or the struggles that we all know, that when Jesus shows up, those struggles are no more. That Jesus walks up, and even in the midst of death, that he is not thwarted by what he can do in that place. And so Jesus gets close to this procession. He gets close to the people who would have been carrying the plank or the coffin or the funeral bier above their head. And as he gets there, the Bible tells us that he reaches his hand out to stop them, to stop the procession, as if to say, you have no need to move forward, because when Jesus is present, where you're going isn't where you think you need to be. And so he reaches his hand up and he stops this procession. And it would have been as if the people around him would have said, who is this crazy man? And why is he doing this? And in that moment, Jesus looks at that young man laying on that plank. He looks at him and he says to him, "Young man, I say to you, arise." I bet the people in that crowd coming out of Nain, maybe even the people in Jesus' crowd, thought Jesus was crazy. Jesus was talking to a dead man. I mean, you and I know how ridiculous that seems. We've probably all had the experience of standing at a funeral or at a visitation of a loved one, of looking at one we care for and saying just one last time, "Get up, get up." And it's a sense of our grief and our heartfelt feeling of longing for their life to go on, wishing that it wasn't over. But anytime we say those words, in our minds we know they're not really going to get up. It's just a way for us to express our mourning and sorrow. And yet when Jesus looks at this man, when Jesus looks at this dead body, when Jesus speaks into death, even death listens to the Lord of all creation. Even death cannot stop itself from Jesus. And so when Jesus looks at this young man and says, "Young man, I say to you, arise," he does. When Jesus looks at this young man and says, "I say to you, arise," he sits up. The way Luke tells us, it's almost anticlimactic, the way that he just automatically does exactly what it is that Jesus calls him to do. You and I really are the dead man in this story. Oh, we may not be physically dead. We may not even be spiritually dead. But you and I all have places in our lives where there is an absence of life. That's really all death is. You and I all have places in our lives where we have just said to ourselves, "This is how it's going to be." Where we have said, "This is just who I am." Where we have said, "I can't ever do anything about that." You and I have sections of our lives that we probably never explicitly made the decision to do it, but somewhere we began to build the walls around that pain or that hurt. Where we begin to build the walls around that habitual disobedience or that struggle in our life. Where we begin to shield some sin that we didn't want to deal with, and we just began to say, "I just have to live with that. That's the cross I bear." But Jesus looks at that young man, and he looks at you and me, and he says, "I don't want to hear your excuses. Because there is nothing, not even death, that I cannot speak into and bring life." Let me say that again. There is nothing, not even death, that I cannot speak into and bring life. Our world has a nasty habit of creating all kind of stigmas and understandings and myths about how life really works. We come to believe that old people can't or young people won't. We come to believe that it just won't work that way, that that's just how people are. We've come to believe that there are divisions that should be there, that it's us and them, and that's just how life works. We've come to believe all these things that say it will never change, or I'm just stuck the way I am. And Jesus looks at all of those, and he looks at you and me, and he looks at all of us and says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Say it with me. "Young man, I say to you, arise." Say it again. "Young man, I say to you, arise." Foley United Methodist Church is really that dead man. Oh, we're not physically dead. Although we did learn this spring at our roundtable events, if we choose not to arise, we could be sooner rather than later. And we're not even spiritually dead. There's incredible vitality here. There's a movement of the Spirit in this place. But all of us recognize that the last 30 years have been troubling, that there have been hard seasons upon hard seasons, that there's become a sense of that's just how it's going to be, or we can't do this, or we'll never be that, or our best days are behind us. We've come to just assume that being stuck or sick or stagnant or stationary is the way that we'll just have to be. And Jesus, just like he looks at you and me, and he looks into the conditions of our lives, and he looks at the places where we've shielded ourselves from believing that God can do anything, he looks at our church and he says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." That there is no place in your life, that there is no place in your church, that there is no condition that is outside of the reach of God. And then he looks at all of us and he says, "Now is the time. I say to you, arise." I have every confidence in the world that God is calling Foley United Methodist Church to arise. I love the imagery. I love what our Arise team came up with. I love the unity and consensus that was immediately formed as we sat around the table. Okay, we all sat around our computers and exchanged emails. But as we sat around our table and this Arise theme began to emerge as what this initiative would be called. When there was this sense of understanding the biblical idea that God always calls people to arise, but that is never all he calls us to. That it's always in the Gospels, it's arise and blank. That God is always saying, I want you to get up, but it's for a greater purpose. Arise and come forward. Arise and find life. Arise and carry the gospel to the world. And as we've thought about this at Foley United Methodist Church, we know that's exactly who we are. That we're in the place of arise, but that's not the end result. The goal isn't to just stand up. The goal isn't just to get up from where we are as stuck. It's because God is preparing to do something even greater. Arise is step one, that we move out of this place, that we make a conscious effort to say, we are ready to go forward to where God is calling, and then we wait to see what comes after the and. Arise and blank. God is calling us to arise, but it's not just so we can get up. It's not just so we can pat ourselves on the back. It's not just so we can have quaint activities and a nice church service to go, isn't that cute? We like that. God is calling us to arise because he has more in store. God is calling us to arise because he has a fullness of the gospel that he longs for you and me to live into. He has a fullness of life that he wants each of us to know, that he is not through growing us and stretching us and fulfilling his kingdom through us. And that's what really makes me like this text. Because as much as you and I are that dead man, as much as we are the young man on that funeral plank, the dead man isn't even the focus of this story. This story isn't even really about the young man who died. It's almost as if Jesus would know that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Death doesn't seem to be a big issue for God. He can handle it. The amazing thing about this text is it's about the mother. If you pay attention to the specifics of the text, which I would encourage you to do, we often like to read the Bible the way we want to read it instead of what it actually says. But if you'll go and you'll get your pen out and you'll underline some pronouns, you'll see that the reference is to her, the reference is to she, that Jesus doesn't even notice the young man, he notices the mother. You see, in the first century world, a woman's life, this is just the way it was directly related to her connection to a man. And so very quickly we realize that if you have a woman who has lost her eldest son and she is a widow, she has lost any connection to the community. She has lost any sense of provision. She has lost any sense of social status that she would ever know, because all of that was directly related to the man in her life. Every man in the first century world would have known it was their responsibility to care for the women that were in their household. But when all the men die, the women find themselves in a place of dire vulnerability. Some scholars even believe that the crowd that is walking out of the city with her isn't a group of the Questor Sunday School class coming to pat her on the back and say, it's going to be okay. That they're actually running her out of town, saying, there is no need for you to be here anymore. And so when Jesus sees her, he has compassion on her. That's what the text says. And so when he speaks into the life of this dead man and says, young man, I say to you, arise, it isn't just to give the man his life back. Because the very next thing the Bible tells us that Jesus did is that he gave him to his mother. Two people got their life back in this story. The man laying in the coffin, but the woman whose life was essentially over the moment he died. Jesus sees the marginalized. He sees the forgotten. He sees the hurting. He sees the struggling. And he has compassion on them. And while you and I are the young man, Foley United Methodist Church is the dead man. And God longs to call us back to life. I can only imagine the rest of the story as Paul Harvey would have told it about that young man. What happened when he went back to work? What happened when he reunited with his family? What the rest of his days looked like after that encounter with God? But if we miss that the only reason Jesus gave him his life back was so that the mother could have her life too, then we have missed what this is about. God is calling Foley United Methodist Church to arise. There is no doubt about it. But it isn't just so we can feel good about ourselves and we can go, hey, look, my church is really nice. God is calling Foley United Methodist Church to arise because he has a work of the gospel that he is inviting us into, that he is inviting us to say, I'm going to bring you back to life so I can give you to other people so that other people might know life too. I wonder who the mother is in our community. I wonder who the overlooked and forgotten is around us. I wonder who the ones are that have been forgotten, that aren't even noticed, that are struggling, that long for someone to come and give themselves to them so that they might know life too. That's why the Arise Initiative is so important, because it has everything to do with the mission of what it means for us to follow Jesus. It has everything for us to do with deepening what it is God longs to do in and through each and every one of us. It has everything to do with God raising you from the places of death in your own life, from the places of absence of life, and bringing you back to a fullness and wholeness that can come only from him. But it's not just for that. It's because he longs to see you be a whole and complete disciple, that he longs to see you grow and go on to sanctification, that he longs to see you become more and more shaped in the image of Christ and on mission with him in the world around us. So as he calls you to arise, it's only because there's a world out there that he longs to have life to. God is calling Foley United Methodist Church to arise so that we might have life, and so that the world around us might have life too. Say it with me. Young man, I say to you, arise. Say it again. Young man, I say to you, arise. Claim it for yourself. Young man, I say to you, arise. Make it your prayer for the people around you. Young man, I say to you, arise.